annals of awkward moments, here's one.
Philomena, how are you?
I had a hip replacement last year, Martin. Titanium, so it won't rust.
Otherwise, I'd have to oil you like the Tin Man.
Is that right?
Oh, no.
He's just joking, Mum. Oh.
It's from the latest film by brilliant British director Stephen Frears, Philomena, starring Judi Dench. It's the story of BBC reporter Martin Sixsmith on the trail of a woman's lost child put up for adoption under questionable circumstances. A different kind of story than this wonky journalist, played by Steve Coogan, typically tells.
You're talking about a human interest story, and that's... I don't do those.
Why not?
You think I should do a human interest story?
In Philomena, Frears makes an unlikely on-screen collaboration work magic, as he did in the Oscar-winning The Queen, and such films as The Grifters, My Beautiful Laundrette, Dangerous Liaisons, and High Fidelity. People with powerful emotions, colliding with terrified souls afraid of commitment, love, and passion. Frears prefers to find stories that get to the heart of the matter, whatever the subject, and then describes his work as a kind of winding it all up and stepping back. Stephen Frears says any genius in directing is about getting out of the way.
The imaginative work was really done by Steve Coogan, who created the relationship between Martin Sixsmith, the journalist, and Philomena, which just, I don't think, really existed. And he invented all of that, or he and his co-writer Jeff Pope invented all of that. So when I read it, I gave them a copy of It Happened One Night, because that was a film about an incongruous relationship.
Were you terrified of this working together, or did it seem like an absolute natural?
No, I thought they'd be good chemistry. You know, people come up to you sort of raised, ooh, you want to watch out. But it always seemed to me they'd be very, very good, and that it was the contrast, it was the oppositionism that was made it so interesting. Judy adored Steve. He just used to make her laugh and laugh.
Which is always useful,
yes,
on a set.
No. Yeah. I mean, it was what you dream about, good chemistry. But she would laugh a lot, and then they'd go into a scene, so the warmth would sort of hang over, or the intimacy.
What do you think happens to her during the course of this movie, whether it was true or not in the book?
Well, she's forced to confront things about her son, and then she's forced to accept this dreadful chap who's taking her around, so she learns a lot in her way. But, of course, she starts being wiser than he is, or it turns out that she's wiser than he is.
It's a kind of the tortoise and the hare, both reluctant learners, but you start Judi Dench ahead of Coogan, and
yes,
she wins the race.
Well, she is ostensibly she's uneducated, she's simpler, she has faith. I mean, she doesn't have the things that modern people are supposed to have.
The things that ruin people, like being a journalist.
Absolutely, yes. She's very, very lucky. It's terrible. To make a film in which a journalist is a hero, it's really a betrayal.
Yeah, after you did The Queen,
yes.
Where the journalists aren't the heroes there
absolutely.
Either.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's for sure. You know, I also look at your career and just see the amazing actors that you've worked with and how you're so lucky to get them early. Daniel Day-Lewis. Albert Finney, you didn't get early, but you certainly got him
it's called
Gumshoe.
Poverty. It's called not having the money to afford more famous people. So you have to use the people who are around you, who are, by the grace of God, still cheap. So Dan was, as it were, Dan wasn't remotely famous. Always very, very good.
Do they retain a sense of chemistry with you? Even though you know them when?
I stay friends with them, but...
Yeah.
Well,
you brought out of them so much as a director, it seems to me.
Yes,
you're not just a flick the camera on
director.
I don't
quite understand that because, you know, all you do is really preside over the moment when they come to the surface. You know, it's not the Svengali act that you as a journalist would like it to be. But you're there when it happens.
Give me a break. All you do is preside over the moment when it comes.
Yes.
A director, that is beyond humility for a movie director.
It's not. It's actually the truth. What you learn as a director is how easy it is to make matters worse. I'm being absolutely serious. You can very, very easily make matters worse. And I've spent a lot of my life making matters worse and realizing that's what I was capable of doing. Dan, to talk about Dan, he was desperate for that part. He knew absolutely that if he could get that part, he could change his life and he could show people he wasn't, you know, the upper class boy that he was always playing before that.
Daniel Day-Lewis in My Beautiful Laundrette.
Yes, that's right.
Doesn't look too good, does it? Packney's doing this kind of thing.
Why not?
What would your enemies have to say about this, eh? Ain't exactly integration, is it?
I'm a professional businessman, not a professional Pakistani.
He went out of his way to get it. And, you know, I should be so lucky. So it's very, very hard. There are directors who are interested in actors' performances and how they get to their performance. That's not me. I just expect that one day one to be very, very good.
You also are a connoisseur of scripts. Hanif Qureshi wrote My Beautiful Laundrette. Mm. And I don't know how long that kicked around before you found it, or did you find it and go, this is absolutely...
Well, I don't think it's been around very long, but I read it and said, this is very, very good. We should do this now. Now, meaning now rather than in a year's time.
Right.
And we were lucky that everything fell into place and we did do it then.
No, and you basically heralded a moment of British culture and world culture in the sense of understanding this mixing between the gay world, the straight world.
Yes, again, it's not quite as clear-eyed as you like it to be. You know, I said this is very, very good. We should do it now. As the life of the film unfolded after we'd made it, you started to discover why it was so significant and why it was so substantial and what a great writer Hanif was and how it had captured a moment of time. I don't think, all I said was, this is very good, we should do it now. But if you'd said to me, well, why is it good? What's good about this? I couldn't have told you.
No, and that's what journalists ask. And you don't.
So I better stick to being a film director.
Any attention. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll trade any time, pal, okay? How about that? Give me 5 minutes.
But you understand the world, or you seek to understand, or you know everything. I always think journalists know everything. I'm not sure they make best use of their knowledge. But
I do know everything.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, I do. My wife tells me that, and it's usually an insult.
Yes, no, I understand.
Right. So,
in a sense, I was brought up at the Royal Court Theatre in London, where they taught you to appreciate good writing. They taught you your place, that the writers were preeminent, that the writing was central. And they cast very, very well. So really, if you asked me, I would say I was blessed with good taste in material and good taste in actors, and I've kept my mouth shut.
What's next? Best director? Is that in the cards for you?
No. Oldest director. I'd win it, hands down.
Would you?
Who's at my age?
Let's see.
Scorsese's younger.
Right. Little boy.
So I'm going for the oldest director nomination.
Is Milos Forman still around?
Yes, but he hasn't made a film.
Right. Okay. So.
No. I'm not the oldest director in the world. Right. I'm just the oldest one who's...
Who could win an Oscar?
Who's got a film out at the moment.
The first...
Oldest director. That'd be a wonderful category. Oh, I'm happy to go into that one.
Thanks so much, Stephen Frears.
It's a pleasure.
Stephen Frears' new film playing now in theaters is Philomena, starring Judi Dench and Steve Coogan. And from that very warm conversation, we turn to your thoughts about the polar vortex that's all over America. Samantha writes, I'm a teacher in Connecticut, and my school has preemptively canceled for tomorrow. Sandy in Florida writes, though, one of the good things about living in Miami is the winter weather. We've gotten a ton of unseasonal rain, but our high tomorrow will be in the 50s. Chilly for Sandy, a dream for us in the Northeast. If we didn't know any better, Sandy, we'd say you were trying to rub things in our faces. Give us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Send us a vortex of tweets at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.